LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Mr. President, with respect to the death of Alan Millikan, I know you lied. You told the police Sherry was with you at the time of Millikan's death. Fingerprints on this prescription bottle prove otherwise.
What do you want?
A resignation.
About this, Sherry's got nothing, right? I can call Foxen. He can make this all disappear.
We'll steal evidence.
Jack, I just heard Tony took Jane Saunders out of the building without authorization.
Saunders has Michelle. He wants to trade her for his daughter.
Tony, put the gun on the dash!
You help me make this straight. I'll turn myself in. Go to prison. Whatever's gotta happen.
We don't have a visual on Saunders. I repeat, we do not have a visual on Saunders.
Keep your team down. Stay down.
I can't. Jane! It's okay! Come here!
Teams A and B, move.
Move now! See that? I'm pinned down. Saunders has a helicopter. Call in air support now.
An F-18 fighter jet destroys Saunders' waiting helicopter, and Jack pins him down with his gun.
11 vials of the virus are unaccounted for. Where are they?
It's not going to be that simple, Jack.
This is Jack Bauer. Saunders is in custody.
The following takes place between 11 a.m. and 12 p.m.
British Sky Broadcasting presents 24, starring Kiefer Sutherland as Jack Bauer, Carlos Bernard as Tony Almeida, James Badge Dale as Chase Edmonds, and Dennis Haysbert as President Palmer. Created by Joel Sonow and Robert Cochran, voiced by Tim Bruce on behalf of MCS Agency. Beneath the bridge, medical teams deal with the aftermath of battle as Jack queries an agent hacking into Saunders' captured laptop computer.
We just got verification from Saunders' computer. There's 11 vials spread across the country. How long till you can give us access on their location?
I'm not sure I can. Saunders applied a sophisticated decryption overlay, and unauthorized access will auto-erase the file structure. I'll keep trying.
Where are the 11 vials?
You're wasting your time, and I'm not foolish enough to have that information in there.
Where are the vials?
In the hands of dedicated men, true believers.
Believers in what?
That the greatest threat to world peace comes from this country.
There's a hotel not far from here, where 800 innocent people are dead or dying because of you. Were they a threat to your world peace?
The United States must be forced to retreat within its own borders. Those people are simply the first casualties of war.
What happened to you, Stephen?
I was abandoned by the people I worked for. As you'll be someday. But my message will be heard in less than 1 hour.
What are you talking about?
My couriers have been instructed to release the virus at noon. They're in failsafe mode and they can't be recalled.
Tell us where they are. We'll stop them.
That is possible. But only if you agree to my terms.
What are your terms?
I have a private jet waiting at Van Nuys Airport. I need to be on it. With a presidential guarantee of safe passage to North Africa.
Never gonna happen.
Then hundreds of thousands will die. I know what you're thinking, Jack. The Bosnian secret police worked on me for 2 years and couldn't break me. Do you really think you'll be able to do it in less than an hour? Get me on that plane, Jack. You don't have a choice.
Jack walks away, pauses a moment, then raises his two-way radio.
Bring me Jane Saunders.
I'm gonna need your gun, Tony.
CTU agents take Tony into custody.
Hey!
You don't have to do that.
I've got my orders.
You take it easy on him, he's one of us.
Not anymore.
What's going on?
My orders are to take Almeida into custody. That's straight from Brad Hammond at Division.
Sorry, Tony. There's nothing we can do right now.
Just take care of business, Jack. I'll be all right.
1106. Jane Saunders.
They said you wanted to see me.
I need you to speak with your father.
What do you want me to say?
Try and make it personal. Try and connect with him. Tell him you're scared, that you don't want him to do this.
I'll try.
Jane edges slowly towards her estranged father, held against the bonnet of a car by a fully armed SWAT agent. Jane avoids his pained eyes a moment, then confronts him.
I know what's going to happen. And I know you can stop it. Please.
I won't let them use you to manipulate me.
Despite everything that's happened, I love you. And I'm asking you, please, don't let this happen. This doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense to you because you haven't seen what I've seen. You don't understand.
I know you think what happened to you is the government's fault, and maybe it is. But the people who are going to die are innocent.
And that is tragic, Jane. But it has to happen for things to change, and they must change.
How can you do something like this?
I'm doing it for your sake.
For my sake?
For you and your children. And after it's all over, the world will be a better place.
Please, Dad. Please. Please. Don't do this.
Jane, I don't expect you to understand now, but one day you will. And you'll look back and you'll thank me for what I've done.
Saunders has the look of a madman. Jane no longer recognizes her father and breaks down in tears.
Oh, my God.
Jane. Jane.
Jane.
Jack and Saunders regard each other.
We're on the move. Get the choppers ready.
End of part one. 2. 11:09. Sherry Palmer's home.
Hello?
Sherry, it's David.
Hello, David.
I've been thinking things over. What Keeler offered you, how did you put it? A seat at the table?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, there may be a seat at my table.
It's a little too late for that, David.
But Sherry, I think it's in both our best interests for you to hear what I have to offer.
All right, I'm listening.
No, not on the phone. In person.
Where then?
At Latham Park, the old baseball field.
I know it.
Good, I'll meet you there in 25 minutes.
That's short notice, David.
But you will be there.
You're in no position to be making demands
here. Jerry, I have a schedule to keep. If I start changing things around, it will attract attention, and I don't think either one of us wants that.
All right, David, I'll hear what you have to say.
Foxton and Wayne wait anxiously in a car outside Sherry's beach house.
Yeah.
She should be leaving soon to meet me.
I knew she'd go for it.
Oh, she's enjoying having me over a barrel. I could hear it in her voice.
Don't worry about that, David. If we can find this prescription bottle, all her leverage is gone.
How long will you need in the house?
The more time we have, the better our chance of finding it.
I'll do whatever I can to keep her there with me.
All right.
Wayne, find it.
11:10. A CTU helicopter lands outside the Chandler Plaza Hotel, carrying Jack and a handcuffed Saunders, who is led by two guards past busy hazmat vehicles to the tunneled entrance of the quarantined hotel. Through the sealed glass frontage, Saunders is forced to see rows of full body bags. The latest victim is added by stretcher to the mounting tally of dead.
Take a look at your handiwork. You murdered these people, Stephen. Whole families!
Sometimes a fire needs to be lit in order to put out another fire.
I don't want to hear your justification. This is over! You are going to tell me how to find the rest of the vials now!
They'll send me inside the hotel. I'm prepared to die for my cause, Jack.
Chase.
Yeah, Jack.
Come in.
Copy that.
Chase arrives by second helicopter with Jane and leads her firmly by the arm to the waiting party of Jack and Saunders. A look of dread concern leeches across Saunders' troubled face. Jane continues on, unaware of Jack's intent.
What are you doing, Jack?
Jane begins to suspect.
Why did you bring me here?
Ask your father. It's up to him.
Dad?
Tell me how to find your courier, Stephen, or I'm going to put your daughter in that building.
You wouldn't dare. She has nothing to do with this.
Neither do the people in those body bags. I'm going to do everything that I have to stop you from releasing more of this virus.
How could you do this?
I'm going to give you one chance.
No, you're not.
Tell me how I find them.
You know you can't do this, Jack. You are a government agent.
Send her in. Take her inside, now!
No! Dad, stop them! Dad, stop them! Stop it! Stop it! Dad, please! No! No! No!
Jane?
Everything that happens to your daughter is because of you!
Get her out of there, Jack.
Please!
Get her out of there!
Where are the vials?
Get her out of there!
How do I find the vials?
Let her go! Do as I say! Now, Jack!
When your daughter is infected, I'm gonna make you watch her die.
Let her go! Let her go!
You're running out of time, Stephen!
Jack! Jack!
Stephen, you're out of time!
Stop! 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 I'll talk to you! Just don't harm her!
Jack prowls towards Saunders.
How do I find the vials?
Each one is tagged with a GPS-located chip so that I could track them right up until the moment they were released.
Where are the locator codes?
In my head.
You memorized all 11.
Yeah. Get her out of there.
Bring Jane out from the tunnel now. Let's go.
As Saunders is taken away, his daughter is led out of the tunnel to safety by two SWAT team members in protection suits. 11:18. Saunders sits before a computer screen, tracking the GPS locator chips.
Picked up 10 of the 11 GPS signals coming off the vials.
Why are we missing a signal?
I don't know. I gave you the correct codes.
Where's the 11th vial?
Los Angeles.
What's the target?
His instructions were to select a public place where maximum casualties would be inflicted.
What's his name?
I know him as Arthur Ravens, but I'm assuming that's not his real name.
We need a description. Take him back to holding over at CTU. I want him working with a sketch artist immediately.
What about Jane?
She stays here.
As Saunders is escorted away, he throws Jane a forlorn look. Jack contacts CTU on his cell phone.
Cop.
Adam, it's Jack. I need you to do an all-agency search on the name Arthur Ravens.
Saunders believes it might be an alias.
Okay, I'm on it, Jack.
Look, has District sent anyone over to replace Tony?
Actually, yeah, Brad Hammond just got here right now.
Okay, let me speak to him.
1 second.
Mr. Hammond, I have Jack Bauer for you on line 6.
Jack, I've been briefed on CTU activity to this point.
We're relaying the coordinates of the 10 vials to local police, NHS, and hazmat across the country.
We still can't lock on a signal from the 11th vial.
The 11th vial is in Los Angeles. The courier's name is Arthur Ravens. Although Saunders believes that that might be an alias, there's no predetermined target.
Think he's telling the truth?
Yeah, right now he thinks we're willing to kill his daughter if he doesn't cooperate.
But our best bet is to lock onto that signal.
Yeah, I understand everyone in comm is working on it.
Brad, I know you took Tony Almeida into custody. But now that his wife is safe, I think he might be a real asset to us.
Sorry, Jack, but there's not going to be any special treatment.
For God's sakes, Brad. 4.5 years ago, I was put in the exact same position that Tony's been put in today. Victor Drazen kidnapped my wife and daughter, and I went outside of CTU to get them back, and no one put me in prison.
The circumstances were different.
And the outcome will be the same. We will prevail.
The entire operation was put at risk because of what he did.
This operation started a year ago with Gael, Tony, and myself. Gael gave his life. I became an addict just to maintain my cover, and now you're sending Tony to prison? It's wrong. Brad, it's wrong, and you know it.
You should be putting a medal on him, not handcuffs.
Jack, you can testify at his hearing. Right now, we've got work to do.
11:21. Tony is led in handcuffs by CTU agents across the concourse towards a holding room. Silence fills CTU as each becomes aware of Tony's downcast presence being ushered past into captivity. Only Chloe frowns with sour disapproval. Adam and Kim gape with shock, while Michelle looks on with loving desolation. A guard places Tony into a holding room chair and releases his cuffs. Monitors scrutinize his every movement as his defeated hands crumple onto the table and a bitter Brad Hammond strides commandingly into the room.
Where's Michelle?
She's here.
Could I talk to her, please?
First things first. Plachecki's coming over from the Attorney General's office to take your official statement. You're entitled to have a lawyer present.
Look, I don't need a lawyer, Brad. I did what I did.
What you did, Tony, is punishable by the death penalty.
Death penalty?
What did you expect? You committed treason.
That was not my intent.
You facilitated the escape of a man who is responsible for the death of Ryan Chappelle and almost 1,000 civilians, and who was contemplating killing millions of others. Then you tried to neutralize the only leverage we had over him by giving him back his daughter.
So what's the bottom line?
I will testify to the fact that your service record is long and for the most part distinguished. With luck, the best you can hope for is 20 years.
Hammond's words sink grimly into the depths of Tony's sobered mind, like the blood on his bandaged neck. Foxton and Wayne outside Sherry's beach house.
Sherry should have left by now.
Yeah, well, she's taking her time so she can make the president wait.
11:23, Julia Milliken.
Wayne Palmer.
Wayne.
I told you not to call me.
I don't have anyone else.
I'm sorry, but I can't help you right now.
The police are coming back to arrest me, Wayne, for murdering Alan, because they don't believe that Sherry was here.
I know what happened.
Well, then why didn't you tell them the truth? My lawyer says that the president is backing Sherry's story. Is it true? Is your brother covering for Sherry?
I don't know, Julia.
Well, don't lie to me.
Listen, I'm sorry, but there's nothing I can do for you right now.
Please, don't hang up.
I'll call you as soon as I can, I promise.
Wayne. No, I'm so scared.
I know.
We loved each other once. Help me.
I have to go, Julia.
Wayne.
I'm sorry.
Sherry drives away in her silver Mercedes. Foxton and Wayne have to move fast. Wayne reluctantly puts away his phone and follows Foxton across the street to Sherry's house. They try to look casual, but have little time for appearances. Meanwhile, Julia becomes desperate and tearfully contemplates her uncertain future alone, not knowing where left to turn or what to do. Back at the beach house, Foxton and Wayne easily pick the lock and break into Sherry's home by a glass side door.
All right.
Surgical gloves shield their hands from incriminating fingerprints. Foxton removes his shady sunglasses and submits the elegant rooms to his seasoned, professional gaze.
I'm chief of staff to the President of the United States, and I'm committing a burglary.
It's an historic moment.
Fox and Sherry can never know we were here.
You do what I say and she won't. Let's get to work.
Jack, this is the tactical feed from San Francisco. They're apprehending Saunders' courier.
He's not ready. He's been neutralized. The sniper took him down with a headshot.
Got it.
It's the violent attack.
Stand by.
Field ops, I repeat, it's the violent attack.
File appearance intact. Need in.
We've got it. The vial is intact. Repeat, we have the vial.
I'm down. Time to go.
11:26. End of part two. 11:30. Foxton and Wayne continue the search for Alan Millican's prescription bottle.
You check the kitchen?
Yeah, for the second time. There is nothing there.
Well, looks like Mrs. Palmer believes in better living through chemistry. But none of the bottles are Alan Millican's.
Damn it.
Relax. She's hidden it here. We'll find it.
How can you be so sure?
Because she's not a professional, and I am.
Palmer waits behind a baseball park surrounded by a home team of security agents. Sherry approaches, confidently clicking her high heels along a path that follows the length of a crisscross wire fence. At the last moment, she lowers her sunglasses to reveal an impudent smirk.
Sherry?
David?
Let's take a walk.
Well, actually, I just wanted to get to the point. What is it that you've decided?
Decided to give you what you want. A place in my administration.
Well, that's what you implied over the phone, but I thought I was here so that you could be a little more specific.
You will be my de facto right hand, involved in all major decisions.
Involved how?
On everything from ambassadorial appointments to legislative proposals. You will be one of my primary consultants.
One of your consultants? Goodbye, David.
What? Where are you going?
Back home, because this conversation is over.
Why?
That's just not good enough. I am not going to be relegated to some informal role so that you can ignore me whenever you choose.
Why don't you just tell me what you want?
I want a permanent position, David. In your administration. And in your life.
I don't understand.
I want to be your wife again.
You what?
I don't expect to have the kind of physical intimacy that we used to have. Although maybe in time that'll come. But I really want to be Mrs. David Palmer again. The First Lady. Right by your side in Washington, wherever you go.
11:33. Palmer turns away and covers his face with his hand. Sherry follows.
Sherry, I don't know what to say.
Well, you can start by saying yes. Or I walk for good. Are you prepared to have me be your wife again?
As Palmer contemplates her proposal, Sherry locks into his gaze and tries to read his face. She reaches her conclusion and begins to walk away. When Palmer grabs her by the arm and stares at her with renewed intensity.
Yes.
Really? Oh, David. Oh, God.
She tenderly strokes his jacket, and they embrace, tears falling down her cheek. Palmer is more reserved and politic.
We should talk about the details. Work out a timeline, how we expose this to the public.
Wait a minute. No, I know you a little better than this, David. Something's not right here. You're making this all too easy. There's something else going on.
I'm giving you what you ask for.
No, you're not. You're toying with me. And I don't know why, and frankly, I don't care. You just consider my offer rescinded. John Keeler will be the next president of the United States.
Sherry marches unstoppably away, masking her face with her sunglasses. 11:36. Palmer reaches for his cell phone.
Yeah. She's on her way back.
David, we need more time. We haven't found anything yet.
Look, I tried to keep her here as long as I could, but she knew something was wrong. Wang, you should leave.
We're not done.
She will be there soon. You have no choice.
Foxton notices that a stair has been chafed in an unusual manner and gestures over to Wayne to come and have a look.
David, hold on.
The stair rises up to reveal a hidden cellar stocked with wine. In one corner is a digital keypad attached to a safe.
There's a safe.
David, we found a safe in a hidden cellar.
Can you open it in time?
Can you get in?
It's an Evan Stoller, so forget about cracking it, but all these electronic safes have manufacturer override codes. I have a guy who can get them for us. One of them will work.
How long?
Depends on how long it takes to get them on the phone.
David, we may have just found a way.
You better. You're running out of time.
The suspect has used a titanium clamp to secure the device to a railing. We're defusing on site. Wilson, what is your status?
Suspect in custody. New York hazmat is en route. Virus is contained.
Yeah.
Seattle, Las Vegas secure. Denver courier taken down making a phone call.
Okay, hold on. Jack, we got the couriers in Las Vegas and Seattle without answering. The Saunders man in Denver was making a phone call when he was killed.
Did he complete the call? Did he warn the other couriers?
I don't know.
We gotta find that out.
Chloe, I'm getting level 2 sat transmission from the LA grid.
Are you sure? What are the coordinates?
Alpha 1733 at Delta 401.
That's downtown. Locking on the sat feed.
Done.
Transfer to my screen?
Okay.
Chloe locks into the GPS signal and verifies its location on her screen.
This is Jack.
Jack, it's Chloe.
What do you got?
Saunders is telling the truth. Ravens is in Los Angeles.
Where?
He's on South Flower heading northwest.
Got a location. I want you to extrapolate his path, cross-reference it with a list of probable public targets.
Already done. The most likely match is the California Center.
Them all makes sense. I want you to get units over there to evacuate and secure the area. We're on our way.
11:42.
No. Light in the eyes.
As Saunders gives a photo-fit description of Ravens, Michelle climbs the stairs to Hammond's temporary office.